refugees in impoverished eastern Sudan. The United Nations agencies and aid groups struggle to evacuate them from the border and provide them with shelter. Millions are at risk of starvation as the brutal civil war in Tigray is reaching a turning point, with thousands of captured Ethiopian government troops arriving in the region. Tigray has been in the scene of fighting since Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed sent army in early November to topple the dissident regional authorities, which emerged from the Tigray People's Liberation Front. After early successes and a premature declaration of victory, government forces were bogged down in a vicious and months-long battle with pro-TPLF fighters. The Ethiopian army was backed by troops from the neighboring Amhara region and the army of Eritrea, which bordered Tigray.
The lengthy conflict between Ethiopian federal government and the Tigray front had already affected negatively not only Sudan and Ethiopia in particular, but also the Horn of Africa in general. This has prompted all the regional states to seek for a way to end the conflict in Ethiopia. Muhammad Ali Fazari, Khartoum.
This is the first time that three Iranian innovations have been approved and funded by the Global Innovation Exchange. Speaking at a press conference, head of Iran's national invention team said that the innovations have been evaluated by such international organizations as USAID, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundations before they received the funds. Global Innovation Exchange is a global development technology platform for innovations, funding and insights. The three Iranian innovations include the Genetics of Success by Mohammad Aryan Akberi, which is one of the top ideas, which introduces a new formula to predict an individual's likelihood of success and could raise $187,500 fund from Turkey. And the next project is a Smart Hospital project by Amir Abbas Mohammadi Kushki, which has managed to attract $2 million fund. The third Iranian project approved by the Global Innovation Exchange has been proposed by Zahra Ghazavi, which is a cuffless blood pressure measuring device based on light sender and receiver sensors. Moreover, Iran's national invention team has won several shining medals at Turkey's Global Innovation and Invention Contest, Technofest 20 and ISIF 20, which were held by the World Intellectual Property Organization and the International Federation of Inventors Association, in association with Turkish Ministry of Economy and Turkish Intellectual Property Organization. In this round of competitions, Amir Abbas Mohammadi Kushki won silver medal for its smart robot preventing coronavirus. Dr. Aryan Akberi backed bronze medal for his Genetics of Success formula, and Zahra Ghazavi won silver medal for her blood pressure measuring device. Moreover, for the first time, two Iranian innovations have made way into MIT University Global Challenge, Solve MIT, which have been published on its website.
This is the first time that the number of Iranian innovations have been well received at Global Innovation Exchange and have attracted international funds to develop the projects. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Health tourism. In the name of God, salam, dear listeners, and welcome to the program. This is the first program in our new radio series, Medical and Health Tourism. In this new series, we are going to discuss medical tourism and Iran's activities and initiatives in this important field of tourism. Also, in each episode of our program, we shall focus on the activities of a reputable and well-known Iranian hospital or medical center, which is active in the field of medical tourism, and take a closer look at the International Patients Department, IPD, at each of these medical facilities. The program will familiarize you, dear listeners, with the achievements of these medical centers and the facilities and services they offer prospective patients, and also how to get in touch with these medical centers. Dear listeners, in the first episode of our program, Medical Tourism in Iran, you will get to know more about medical tourism and the tourism industry in general. Accompany us in this series. Traveling is a truly enriching experience. The valuable learning experience you get from traveling is unequaled. When it comes to learning about life, there is nothing more enriching than traveling. Traveling also leaves you with lasting and fond memories. In the past, people traveled to earn a living, to increase their income, to engage in commerce or trade, or set off on a religious pilgrimage or sought adventure in a foreign land. But given the risks and dangers which are inherent in traveling, many people eschew travel and certainly were wary of making long-distance journeys. Roads were often unsafe. But that is all history now. Today, with advances in technology and industry and the invention of modern means of public transport, cars, railways, air travel, etc., traveling is no longer considered inaccessible or difficult. Today, many people, with a variety of reasons and intentions, embark on short, medium, and long-distance journeys to lands both far away and close by. Thus, a global tourism industry has taken shape. Tourism industry in today's world has become a leading industry. This industry is so well developed that nowadays it is considered the third most profitable and lucrative industry in the world. The word tour in tourism is derived from the Latin word tournare, meaning the movement around a central point or axis. When combined with the suffixes ism and ist, they suggest the action of movement around a circle. One can argue that a circle represents a round trip. You start from a point and ultimately return back to the same beginning. Therefore, like a circle, a tour represents a journey that is a round trip, that is the act of leaving and then returning to the original starting point, and therefore one who takes such a journey can be called a tourist. However, according to the World Tourism Organization, UNWTO, a tourist or a visitor is defined as a traveler taking a trip to a main destination outside his or her usual environment for less than a year, for any main purpose, including business, leisure, or other personal purpose, other than to be employed by a resident entity in the country or place visited. Tourism industry, in fact, consists of a collection of activities, services, and industries which provide travelers and tourists with accommodation, public transportation, food, entertainment, shopping malls, and retail outlets, medical services, etc. The tourism industry is being developed in many countries and is very much in the spotlight these days, since it leads to cultural exchanges between countries, brings countries and peoples closer together, creates jobs, aids the economy, and can play a significant role in reducing poverty and unemployment. Many countries are trying to attract foreign tourists by highlighting their history, cultural and historical heritage, archaeology, interesting places to see, attractive cuisine, beautiful and pristine natural settings, wonderful scenery, etc. Today, based on the purpose for which a traveler embarks on a journey, the tourism industry can be subdivided into several branches. There are many reasons for traveling, some of which may be to explore the history and civilization of a country, to enjoy the beauty of nature, environment, and natural attractions, which many countries have to offer, to learn a new language and experience a new culture, to travel for a religious pilgrimage, to simply relax and get away from it all, or to receive advanced medical treatment which may be unavailable or very expensive in your own country. If you don't know much about medical and health tourism but would really like to find about it out, then follow this series of informative radio programs which tells you all about it. Presently, the future of medical tourism is expected to remain profitable as experts predict considerable revenue growth for the coming years. According to a definition adopted by the World Tourism Organization, UNWTO, a health tourist can make a journey from his country in order to take advantage of the medical facilities of the destination country and recover his mental and physical health. Not only does medical tourism help you receive the best treatment in a foreign land with a fraction of the cost in a developed country, it also provides an opportunity for the other country's economic recovery and economic growth, so basically it's a win-win situation for all. Medical tourism or health tourism is one major reason why tourists visit a country. In fact, health tourism is a kind of tourism which seeks to preserve, promote, and recover the mental and physical health of the tourist. The period of travel can be anything from 24 hours up to 1 year or even more. Millions of people travel abroad for medical treatment, from dental work to major heart surgery, all done at a fraction of the cost back home. Medical tourism is a certainly lucrative business worldwide. When people travel from one place to another place across the international border to receive some form of medical treatment, is called medical tourism. Another definition of a medical tourist is someone who crosses borders to obtain health care in an environment outside their own. Well, since the mid-20th century, health care costs have exploded in many developed and industrialized countries. For those without health insurance, medical tourism represents a viable and beneficial alternative. Medical tourism has existed since Greek and Roman times. It later expanded to several other European countries and then to other regions of the world. Since ancient times, mineral water, hot spring bath, spas, and therapeutic water treatment have all been used to promote human health. It is worth mentioning that medical tourism includes many different types, such as wellness tourism, curative tourism, and so on. Medical tourism is considered a critical kind of tourism among all the different types of tourism, since it deals with people's body and health. Thus, medical tourists are expected to do meticulous research before deciding to embark on this type of journey. It is very important for prospective medical tourists to to get accurate information about reliable and reputable hospitals, their acceptance as a patient at such facilities, as well as their place of residence in the destination country. Various organizations and companies can offer valuable advice and assistance to prospective medical tourists, helping them to choose, providing them with accurate information about the destination country, obtaining medical visas, medical services on offer, and so on. In medical tourism, numerous services will be readily offered to prospective patients, from general surgeries to dental care, plastic surgery, etc., all depending on what medical tourist requires. The patients can also benefit from different touristic services aside from medical care, such as entertainment, visiting museums, interesting places to see, etc. Thus, in order to bring in the medical tourists, countries need to have the right infrastructure in place. They need well-equipped modern hospitals, experienced and well-trained doctors, nurses, and medical staff, state-of-the-art medical facilities, and appropriate medical rules. These are all part of the required infrastructure for attracting, absorbing health tourists. Countries can start to prepare the ground for medical tourism by combining residential services with touristic facilities. The more a country can offer high-quality medical services at a competitive and reasonable price, the more medical tourists it will attract, securing a larger share of this lucrative market. Having the appropriate medical laws to protect patients is also an important factor when trying to attract medical tourists from abroad. Mentioned earlier, medical tourism is an important subcategory of tourism which has drawn government and public attention in recent decades. Medical tourism is a fast-growing area of tourism, and many countries are competing with one another for a bigger market share. It goes without saying that these tourists can generate huge revenues for the destination country, and their stay is even more profitable if it is for an extended period of time. More than 300 million people in the world travel annually with the aim of benefiting from medical tourism services. The $600 billion medical tourism market is growing all the time, and Asia has become a popular destination for tourists due to the prohibitively expensive cost of medical treatments in Western industrialized countries. Medical services in Asia is relatively cheap and of a high standard. Traveling to Asia is easy, and the quality of medical services on offer in many Asian countries is comparable to what is offered in Western countries. Medical technology and medical standards in Asia have improved markedly. Another important factor is that patients promptly receive the medical services they need and are kept waiting for far shorter periods of time compared to Western countries. Some of the popular Asian countries in the field of medical tourism are Iran, Turkey, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, Indonesia, India, Bahrain, China, and Thailand. Dear listeners, we have come to the end of our first episode of Medical and Health Tourism. In our next program, we shall focus on medical tourism in the Islamic Republic of Iran, one of the most popular and successful countries in this field. We shall also look at the services which Iranian hospitals and clinics have to offer. Until then, goodbye and God bless.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
On June 24th, a 12-story building collapsed in Surfside, Florida, trapping dozens under the rubble. Search operations for the bodies of the victims have been underway since. Investigations are underway to establish the cause of the tragic incident. The building was built in 1981 and was undergoing a recertification process requiring repairs. A 2018 report by a consultant engineer had warned about major structural damage to the building. The incident, one of the U.S. worst in years, attracted the media's attention and has been making headlines for days. But there are other similarly or even more tragic accidents occurring around the country that aren't paid much attention to in the press. These include an average of 316 shootings that take place in the U.S., resulting in 106 deaths every day, or the reports on an average of 20 veterans are dying by suicide on a daily basis.
It's an issue here in terms of news coverage, but how do you deal with chronic issues of homelessness, of excess death, of death from the heat? I mean, in the Northwest, there have been several hundred people who have died as a result of the heat, the high temperatures up in Washington and Oregon and British Columbia. That's a huge story as well. More people died there than in Florida. And yet the Florida thing has sort of been the magnet for the media. And they really like, as there's a saying in the American press, if it bleeds, it leads. And Florida fits into that.
During the Independence Day weekend alone, at least 150 people were killed in more than 400 shootings across the country. U.S. President Joe Biden announced late last month that the Senate has struck a bipartisan agreement for a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill to provide funding for the country's roads, bridges, the power grid, public transport, and internet. He, however, said the plan can't succeed unless a separate $6 trillion budget bill is passed. U.S. Republicans are openly opposed to the suggestion, arguing that the bill will create such a debt that can prove quite taxing on the U.S. economy. What there's a bipartisan consensus about is America's military spending, standing at roughly $700 billion. Between 2015 and 2020, U.S. military spending increased by 15%. The U.S. military budget is three times more than China and a whole order of magnitude larger than that of its arch rival, Russia. The military budget President Biden has called for represents a 0.4% cut compared to last year's spending. This has sparked criticism from Democrats and Republicans alike. That comes against the backdrop of the U.S. infrastructure that's outlived its usefulness.
A critical part of the industrial economy in the United States are military contracts. And so there is this sort of huge, sort of built-in bias to the military and the way in which it's discussed. Finally, the budget system here, which is obscure, I think, to almost everybody, including most people in this country, is divided into two parts. And the part that's called discretionary is the one where all of the stuff like the internet or infrastructure or highways, that's discretionary. Defense is treated separately and is treated as something that cannot be reduced within the budgetary framework.
Which one should be the priority, securing interests abroad or ensuring the immediate safety and security of the people inside the borders?
Since 1941, Americans have annually celebrated Independence Day on the 4th of July, a celebration that goes back to the 18th century, when American colonies declared their independence from the rule of Britain. That became the foundation stone of the modern United States, a colonial state which expanded from a group of British colonies on the Atlantic coast of North America by displacing and killing millions of Native Americans. The Declaration of Independence declared that all men are created equal, endowed to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But it seems these laws did not apply to Native Americans as well as African Americans. This 4th of July, the United States is grappled with a global pandemic. The U.S. is currently the worst hit nation by the coronavirus pandemic in terms of infections and fatalities. Also, the U.S. is experiencing an intense period of political and social unrest. On January 6th, A mob of then-President Donald Trump supporters stormed the Capitol while Congress was holding sessions to officially certify President Joe Biden's victory in the 2020 race. The attack left five people dead, including a Capitol police officer. Trump's critics said his incendiary remarks during his speech on the same day encouraged his supporters to storm Congress. Another issue that has plagued American society is racial discrimination and police brutality. According to various studies, African Americans are far more likely to be shot, arrested, and imprisoned by police than any other racial group. According to research and advocacy group Mapping Police Violence, nearly 7,800 people were killed by police in the United States from 2013 to 2020. Experts say the dramatic gap in police shootings and prison rates reflects biased policing, as well as the vast economic and educational inequalities that plague much of the country.
Because the United States has never, ever really come to grips with the racist foundations of the country, and it has never come to grips with the racist elements within the country that continue to this day.
This 4th of July, a new Yahoo News and YouGov poll showed that a majority of Americans believe everything about the United States is on the wane. 62% of Americans who responded to the survey said the U.S. is no longer the shining city on a hill. They feel the country is getting worse and are deeply divided over how to handle the coronavirus and protests sparked by the death of George Floyd. 49% of Americans said the U.S. response to the COVID-19 pandemic was worse than expected. Yet America's gloomy outlook goes beyond the pandemic. 64% of Americans say race relations, the focus of mass protests since George Floyd was killed by a Minneapolis police officer in late May, are also getting worse. Floyd's death sparked protests across the U.S. and globe that are a reminder of the oppression that people of color in the U.S. have always faced.
So, this whole idea of America being this shining city on the hill, that's mythology. And so what we should do is leave mythology to the Greeks. And we should try now to deal in reality. And the reality is that the United States sees itself as a unitary global hegemon, but what has now become a multipolar world. And Americans refuse to understand that reality. We are no longer the sole bully on the block. There are now other countries that are resisting America's sanctions regime, that can stand up to America's military might.
The once shining city on the hill was built upon the blood and sweat of Native American people and African slaves. 4th of July marks the dawn of a colonial system that came to existence by shedding the blood of millions of Native Americans and enslaving millions of Africans. The United States envoy to the U.S.-led anti-Daesh coalition has warned of a possible resurgence of the Takfiri terrorists in Iraq and Syria due to worsening poverty and inequity there. But what is the root cause of the instability and poverty afflicting Baghdad and Damascus? 2 years after the 9/11 incident, the U.S. invaded Iraq and opened a second major front in its so-called war on terror after invading Afghanistan. The invasion toppled Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein, but was followed by instability as well as deadly violence that took lives of over a million Iraqis and displaced over 9 million more. Consequently, the chaos resulted from the U.S. invasion eventually gave birth to Daesh terror group in 2014. 3 years after, the Takfiri group captured nearly one-third of Iraq's territory. However, Baghdad finally declared victory over the terrorists in December 2017. The victory was owed to the bravery of commanders Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis that played a decisive role in the full-scale fight against the Daesh terrorists. However, in a criminal and terrorist act, the U.S. killed these two figures in January 2020. That blatantly contradicts Washington's concern about the resurgence of Daesh. Following the assassination of top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani and Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, anti-U.S. sentiments escalated in Iraq. U.S. bases in the country have come under increasing rocket and drone attacks amid rising tensions over the continued American military presence in the Arab country. Elsewhere in Syria, the government has been grappled with foreign-backed militancy since March 2011. That later gave way to the presence of terrorist groups such as Daesh. Furthermore, over the past years, the U.S. has been leading a military coalition conducting airstrikes against purported targets of the Daesh Takfiri terrorist group inside Syria without any authorization from the Damascus government. However, numerous reports and official accounts have revealed the U.S. and Israel's involvement in the relocation of Daesh's elements across Syria and shipment of supplies to them. The U.S. has also been blamed for stealing and selling Syrian oil and other resources. While the U.S. claims it cares about Syrian civilians, it has imposed crippling economic sanctions on Syria that prevent the country from rebuilding after a decade of war.
It's really hard to be really clear about what's the motivation here, because it could just be stupidity. There's a lot of stupidity in U.S. foreign policy, pig-headedness. The CIA, when people say, why do you keep invading and destroying countries when it doesn't work, when it doesn't help you? And the answer that the CIA gives is, it's what we do. It's what we do. It's just that's the way we function. It's almost like it's an instinct to invade, to create chaos, to so that's one possibility. Another one that's related to this is could just be sour grapes. It could be spoil sport, that the U.S. sees that these countries want to become independent, want to develop independently of the United States.
Thousands of Syrians have died since the outbreak of the Western-backed war in 2011 to topple the government of President Bashar Assad. After failing to do so through proxies and direct involvement, the U.S. government implemented additional sanctions in Syria through a law known as the CSAR Act. The crippling sanctions under the CSAR Act specifically target energy and construction sectors to prevent Syria from rebuilding. After a decade of war, the CSAR Act enabled Washington to sanction any person involved in reconstruction efforts in government-controlled parts of Syria. The correlation between U.S. economic sanctions and the crisis in Syria is clear. Syria's currency has plummeted and prices for basic goods have soared as a result of the sanctions. According to the UN, 60% of Syrians lack access to sufficient food. Besides the economic embargo, the U.S. has also occupied oil fields in Syria's northeast, depriving Damascus of a vital resource. Moreover, the UN has warned that U.S. sanctions have hampered humanitarian aid deliveries in Syria.
Yes, they do want a certain amount of instability and chaos wherever their own interests are threatened. So Syria, it was clearly the strongest anti-imperialist, anti-American force, anti-Israel force in the Middle East.
Washington alerts that Daesh terrorists might start regaining territory in Iraq and Syria as a result of poverty and instability there. That's why the U.S. has targeted Baghdad and Damascus with crippling economic sanctions, which have worsened the socio-economic conditions there. Besides sanctions, U.S. military intervention as a whole is responsible for the creation of Daesh terrorists. If the U.S. hadn't invaded Iraq in 2003, and if Washington and its allies hadn't backed opposition groups and al-Qaeda affiliates in Syria, Daesh never would have formed.
crisis in Yemen is deepening as fresh fierce clashes between Yemeni forces and Saudi-led militants have erupted in Ma'arib. The clashes happened between Yemeni forces and Allied Popular Committee fighters and the rival forces who are loyal to former President Abdurrahman Mansour Hadi. Local sources say the Yemeni troops and Allied Popular Committee fighters mounted intensive attacks from the north, south, and west to push the Saudi mercenaries out of the region. Saudi warplanes are reported to have conducted more than a dozen strikes on residential areas across the region.
Well, it clearly shows that the Ansarullah movement cannot be defeated. And that's what's so important, that Saudi Arabia, with all of its vast military equipment and years of U.S. support, military aid, jet aircraft, naval blockades, have failed to defeat the Ansarullah movement. And as a matter of fact, have suffered one defeat after another.
Over the past few weeks, Ma'arib has been the scene of large-scale operations by Yemeni troops and their allied forces. They're pushing against Saudi-sponsored pro-Hadi militants. Yemeni forces are closing in on Ma'arib, the last stronghold of pro-Hadi forces in northern Yemen. The loss of the strategic region would mean the defeat of the Saudi-backed regime. Yemeni forces had earlier liberated several strategic heights in the northwest of the province after intense fighting. Analysts believe control of the oil-rich region of Ma'arib would strengthen the bargaining position of Yemeni forces and peace talks. The fierce clashes come amid fresh attempts to bring an end to what the UN has described as the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Analysts believe Saudi Arabia is desperate to find a face-saving way out of its disastrous bombing campaign in Yemen. It is believed that the Saudi regime has failed miserably in Yemen, as its foreign interventions have failed to produce desirable results for the kingdom.
Clearly, it shows that Saudi Arabia could not prevail through military measures. So now they are talking about, let's have a peace agreement. But they're asking for many things that they could not win on the battlefield. So whether they will gain it in peace talks, that's highly unlikely.
The new administration in Washington has pushed for fresh attempts to bring the war to an end. But the Yemeni forces have dismissed the so-called peace initiatives presented by the U.S. to end the war in the country, saying such plans are not favorable since they fail to include the Yemeni nation's demands, including lifting the siege on the port city of Aden.
The UN is acting in favor of major powers and exhibits clear bias. The aggressor countries are committing the most heinous crimes against Yemeni children, and yet they were not included in the list. The UN decision is disconnected from realities and does not rely on independent accounts.
Any peace agreement must be based on ending the siege, the closing of the ports, and the distribution of food to the population of Yemen, who've been held hostage by Saudi Arabia and also by the U.S. through this whole process.
Ansarullah movement says no just solution to the humanitarian crisis in Yemen has been worked out yet. The Yemenis say the aggressors have to end all their attacks against Yemen, take out all their forces, end an all-out siege that they have been imposing on the Arab country, including the port city of Aden, and compensate the victims before entering any peace process.
Well, they certainly have no desirable result. They first announced that this would be a war over in a matter of weeks and then months, and it has dragged on for more than 6 years. So it's a complete disaster in the eyes of the entire region. It does show the weakness of this corrupt regime that is unable to carry on a war against a country far less technologically, doesn't have the means, doesn't have the military forces, and yet it has a mobilization of the people. And that is what is decisive again and again, as we're finding in every country.
Saudi Arabia and some of its regional allies have been engaged in a devastating war in the country that began in March 2015. They were backed by the U.S. and other Western powers. The aggressors were trying to reinstall Yemen's former president, Abdurrahman Mansour Hadi, a staunch ally of Riyadh, to crush the Ansarullah movement. The Saudi war has failed to achieve its goals, but pushed Yemen to the brink of a humanitarian crisis. Saudi officials claimed that the war would last only a few weeks.
The light.
nearly 22-meter-high sand sculpture in Denmark has set a new Guinness record as the world's tallest sandcastle. The sculpture has been constructed with nearly 5 tons of sand. It's made in the shape of a triangle, and a wood structure stabilizes it. More than 30 artists from different countries have worked on the project, carving intricate details on the castle's wall. Its makers say a nod to the coronavirus pandemic was also made at the top of that construction. They say that's because the virus has controlled the lives of people over the past months. The sand piece broke the previous Guinness record that belonged to an 18-meter-high sand castle in Germany. An adorable baby elephant has become a web celebrity after she was caught on camera using a muddy hill as playground slide. Footage shows the little elephant excitedly approaching a hill with a smooth path leading downward. The baby then goes on all fours to have the time of her life sliding on her belly down the hill, taking full advantage of rain. The toddler, named Yishong, is only 3 years old. She lives at a rescue center in China, one of the major habitats for wild Asian elephants in the country.
A French company has taken the process of pizza making to a whole new level by creating a robot chef. The robot named Patsy is completely autonomous. The machine, now working in a pizzeria in Paris, is capable of taking orders, making a pizza from scratch and serving it. Having 3 arms, the robot can make 120 pizzas in an hour, which is 13 times faster than a human chef.
We are in a very fast process with a perfect control of time and quality, since we have a constancy offered by robotics and then an environment that is quite cool and relaxed. The idea is also to spend a few pleasant minutes washing the robot while you wait for your pizza to be made.
It took designers 8 years to develop the machine, which is claimed to be the first pizza-making robot in the world. They hope to use the technology to open robotics-run restaurants that can function round the clock. In China, scientists are happy that the world's first artificially bred leaf monkey is doing well 2.5 months after being born. The rare monkey was born at a research and protection center in Wuzhou City in April. Its birth took place several days earlier than the due date, and the baby was relatively weak at birth. However, thanks to its parents and caretakers, it has grown in a normal way. Scientists say the baby monkey is now in a good condition and its behavior is totally normal.
It is very important in terms of the cytic value. It has been growing up normally. In addition, we have found that it has a curiosity about the world and always shows some exploratory and learning behaviors. In general, it is in very good physical condition.
The center's scientists say another leaf monkey that was born in April is doing well too. These monkeys are the 8th generation of leaf monkeys that have been bred in captivity. Their successful births have raised hope amongst the scientists of saving a species that is one of China's most endangered wild animals. Imagine the hungriest you've ever been. How many hot dogs could you possibly gobble down in 10 minutes? An American man has done 76. Professional eater Joey Chestnut broke the world record in the International Hot Dog Eating Contest on Brooklyn's Coney Island. The 37-year-old managed to devour the first 30 hot dogs in only 3 minutes. The impressive win marked his 14th victory at the annual contest. He held the previous record, which was only one sausage sandwich, less than his 2021 record. astronauts at China's space station have successfully carried out the country's first spacewalk. Two astronauts exited the core module of Tiangong to examine the station's robotic arm. They also elevated a panoramic camera and tested new generation spacesuits. The mission lasted 7 hours. According to the China Manned Space Agency, another spacewalk will be conducted soon. In June, three Chinese astronauts blasted off to become the first crew of the Tiangong station. They will remain there for 3 months. Lionel Messi is one of the most popular football players with millions of fans from across the world, but the legendary player enjoys special love and affection in his hometown. Local artists at Rosario relished the chance to honor Messi in a mural on a four-story building. The 14-meter high and 8-meter wide giant artwork stands opposite of the school Messi attended in his childhood. The mural depicts him as both an adult and a child. Messi had been the top scorer in European football leagues multiple times. He also received the world's best player award for a record 6 times. The 34-year-old currently holds the Argentinian national team's captaincy. Pangolins might look tough with their scaly armor, but they are in fact highly vulnerable animals. A Vietnamese man is dedicating his time and energy to making sure they are safe. 39-year-old Thai has been protecting pangolins since his boyhood when he saw one brutally hunted by his neighbors. The bitter experience inspired him to find or make a group devoted to saving the endangered species. Save Vietnam's Wildlife has over 60 staff and has so far rescued around 1,600 pangolins. Thai says seeing the rescued animals return to nature is the best part of his job.
The most wonderful moments in the lives of all of the conservationists at my center are the moments that we witness the rescued pangolins getting out from the transportation cages and slowly walking into the forest, because the forest is their true home, where they can have the joy of living their lives in their own way.
Pangolins are one of the most trafficked mammals in the world. Their number have fallen due to illegal trade. The animals, now critically endangered, could once be found in the rainforests across Asia and Africa. They use their sticky tongues to hunt for ants, termites, and similar prey. People around the world have their unique ways of celebrating events. In Nepal, farmers and locals celebrate National Paddy Day by jumping into muddy fields. The festival marks the start of the annual rice planting season. People joyfully sing and play in muddy water. Another popular tradition on this day is eating a mixture of curd and beaten rice with friends and family. The fun event usually draws many tourists from around the world. However, this year, it is limited only to locals due to the coronavirus pandemic. Rice is the most important crop in Nepal and accounts for almost half of the cereal production in the country. The pandemic has not stopped this British musician from holding live concerts. His audience is a very special group in Danish rural areas. Jacob Shaw, a university professor, is the man behind this experiment. He says playing for the animals has been his second best option after the pandemic forced the cancellation of many events and social gatherings. Shaw says the performance for the cows has been so rewarding that he wants to continue it even after public spaces are reopened. He says the cows seem to enjoy classical music very much.
They react differently to different pieces. We played something that was slightly more upbeat, a little bit more modern, and a lot of them didn't like it and they went away. And I think that the type of pieces which is closer to their voice, closer to their mooing, which could be similar actually to a cello, which is why it's so successful with them, they prefer that.
the cello player is sometimes accompanied by other musicians. They say the experience has helped them practice and also relieve some of the stress of a live concert.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Well, science fiction has turned into reality. Or at least that's how the developer of Aircar describes his vehicle when it transforms from a car into an aircraft in less than 3 minutes. This prototype flying car was designed and created by Slovakian transportation professor Stefan Klein. He says that his design opens a new category in transportation. The dual-mode vehicle composed a 35-minute flight in this week between the two Slovakian airports. So far, it has completed more than 40 hours of test flight. Aircar can fly about 1,000 kilometers at a height of over 2,500 meters. That makes the dream of those who wish to ride above traffic closer to reality. A digital art museum in the Japanese capital has unveiled a stunning exhibition offering visitors an intimate interaction with nature. One of the attractions of the show is Floating Flower Garden, which is a mirrored room filled with 13,000 orchid flowers. The orchids are dangling from the ceiling and move up once a visitor walks through in the space and approaches the flowers. Once the visitors move past the flowers, descend again. This makes the visitors able to freely wander around the three-dimensional flower mass space. Tokyo-based digital art group Team Lab that runs this exhibition says the artwork is designed to help people think that they are part of the garden.
This is an installation filled with these flowers. As you walk towards them, the flowers slowly move up to create an area of space for you. Surrounded so completely by flowers, you feel immersed in the flowers, the garden itself.
There are several other installations in this exhibition. One is an outdoor piece filled with oval sculptures that light up after the sun sets. Visitors can see 61 different colors of light in this section. When one of the ovals is tipped over by a hand or the wind, it emits a sound. The sound is then echoed by the surrounding ovals. In a school in the Ukrainian capital, kids learn about saving the environment and helping those in need through a creative way. Students put plastic bottles in a machine as currency. Then they can select what they would like to spend money on. Buying food for stray animals and donating to children with special needs are some of the choices. The project was first launched in a mall in Kiev a few months ago. Afterwards, the designers found out that children were the most frequent users of this machine.
A child drops a bottle inside and sees an immediate result. It brings joy and happiness, and everyone is excited and wants the project to thrive.
The founders seek to install more and more machines in schools across Ukraine to raise environmental awareness among younger generations. Since the start of the project in October last year, over 5 tons of plastic has been collected from 6 machines.
India is known not only for its cultural diversity, but also for a vibrant assortment of uncountable dishes. Butter chicken is the only one delight you wouldn't like to miss while visiting Indian restaurants, especially if it is prepared by a celebrity chef like Saransh Goyla. Goyla's coal-fired oven is now sending a mouth-watering scent through India's commercial hub Mumbai as the young chef takes a break from COVID-19 relief efforts and resumes work. He is the one who established the first global butter chicken brand and authored the acclaimed food travelogue India on My Platter. But with the coronavirus forcing people into isolation, his networks were also hit. So Goyla launched a non-profit platform called COVID Meals for India in April to connect thousands of volunteer home cooks and frontline workers.
The pandemic had a large impact on our business. Having said that, Goyla Butter Chicken from the start was always focused on deliveries and takeaway. So in that sense, our loss of revenue and a loss of business was slightly lesser than an average restaurant. But a lot of my friends, restaurateurs who are in this industry have gone through an extremely tough time. The pandemic has taken its toll on our industry, and I think it has set us back by at least a couple of years.
Goyla found his calling early, winning a televised cooking competition at the age of 25, which led him to host a travel program showcasing regional Indian cuisine. His profile exploded in 2018 when he was invited by former MasterChef Australia judge George Kalambaris to be a guest on the hit show, with contestants asked to recreate his signature dish.
Graduation is an exciting moment for all schoolgoers, but the occasion turns more joyful if it ends with a celebration like Scarlet Sales Festival, which is held in St. Petersburg in Russia at the end of the school year. The annual event is part of the famous White Nights Festival, traditionally held in summer with spectacular fireworks, numerous music concerts, and a massive water show. Normally, thousands of domestic and foreign tourists flock to the city to watch the colorful event. But this year, the COVID-19 pandemic limited the number of the attendees. The festival began in the 1960s when several Russian schools united to celebrate the end of the academic year. That is in connection with the symbolism of the popular 1922 children's book, Scarlet Sails, by Alexander Grimm.
IRIB English Radio.